Hey, everybody, and welcome into Reality NSFW. I'm Bobby Goodspeed, joined, as always, exercising empathy and wisdom to everybody he meets. Britt Walgamont, welcome.
What's up, Bobby? How you doing, man? It is Big Brother 23, and I'm here with the Big Brother 23 premiere day lips, bitch. How do you like that?
Yeah, those lips are ready to go, man. Ready to talk about this season of Big Brother. Do you want to talk about it at all?
I mean, like, I had, you know, I made this appointment like 2 weeks ago. I didn't realize it was the premiere of Big Brother. I didn't want to cancel and have to wait another 2 weeks. I had my Botox and my filler. I do it every 9 months, and it was scheduled for today. And I didn't think I was going to be this swollen. I'm a little swollen, especially on the bottom lip. A little bit much. It looks like I have lipstick, but it's totally cool. I'm here for it. I can't wait to see what it looks like in a couple days when the swelling goes down. So crazy and excited to talk about this episode of Big Brother.
Just adding more of a mouth to Brent is what we need for this,
right?
Big Brother season.
Bigger Brent. Bigger Brent for Brent.
All right, let's bust into it right away. You can see I took diligent note-taking about this season. This is my first time hosting, so bear with me. We're going to get through this together.
You're going to do a fabulous job. I already love the way you're hosting. You sound great. You sound like nice and concise. I know you took lots of notes. The people support you. The people already love you. So everyone's on your side, Bobby. We got it.
All right. And also, I'm healing up a little bit. The accident.
Yes, you are. You look
starting
much better.
To heal. You know, I'm feeling much better. That's for sure. So everyone, thank you for all the kind comments in the last video. Everyone's doing great, and we're getting better each and every day. All right, so let's get into this episode. So first, we have Big Brother 23, the premiere, where we saw similar to what they did last season, where they brought the house guests in live because of COVID. I'm sure it's the same protocols this year. This year, they weren't wearing the mask going into the house. What were your thoughts on that? I thought that we were going to see masks.
I was so glad that they did not have the freaking masks. I am a proponent of masks, for heaven's sake. I've got the vaccine. You know, the CDC guidelines say you don't need to wear the mask if you're a vaccinated person, indoor or outdoor. I'm glad they went along with that. I was kind of bummed there was no audience, though. I really thought when I didn't see any masks that there was going to be an audience, especially since California lifted all of their restrictions. I do know that the Delta variant is out there, but, you know, the CDC says that the vaccine protects against the worst of that. So I really thought there was going to be an audience tonight. And I really like the excitement of an audience for a Big Brother, especially a premiere episode, you guys. Come on. So that was missing for me. And there was a couple awkward pauses here and there from Julie where she was waiting for the programming in her ear to come on. But aside from that, I thought it was really fun. And I was really glad that there was no masks.
Yeah, slowly but surely, we're getting back to normal. And hey, no masks, that's a sign of the right direction. You know, we did see a cast member get taken off the cast because of COVID. That's mm-hmm. why you obviously don't see Christy here. It was Christy, right?
Christy.
Yes, and so we don't see her. Instead, we see Claire in her place, and we'll get to her in a little bit later. But it is good to see signs of, you know, getting back to normal. Hopefully the crowd will come back, you know, sooner than later, maybe next season, maybe even some way down the line. We'll see.
Yeah, totally. Right. I think that's definitely possible.
So first, we got the first four men into the house. We've got Travis, Derek F., Frenchie, and Xavier. A couple little notes I have from their intro videos. Travis, salesman, lives in Hawaii. Pretty self-explanatory. That's all we really get out of that guy.
Yeah.
Derek, Smokin' Joe's son. Obviously, everyone knows that. But I think this guy's going to be quite the character. You could see it throughout the episode. I think this guy's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
Frenchie, three kids, super fan, and he took a notebook after each season and wrote how he would play better in the season that he just watched. So that's very interesting. You know, the fact that we didn't get very many videos of these people going into the season, getting these little blurbs, you know, I feel like I changed dramatically on a few people just watching their intro videos alone. And lastly, before I let you get into it, we have Xavier, ex-athlete, not going to say he's a lawyer. He's saying he's a bartender. Mm-hmm. So it's just a couple little blurbs I have on each of these people. Let me know what you think. What did you think of this first four as they go into the house?
I'm never a proponent of lying about who you are or what you do, because I swear to God, credibility is such a big currency in the Big Brother house. If you slip up one freaking time, your ass is grass. And I just don't think, I mean, like, you're an attorney. Like, there are plenty of poor attorneys out there. There's no reason to lie about that. I just don't think that's going to help him. I think if anybody's intimidated by him, they're not going to be intimidated by him because he's an attorney. They're going to be intimidated by him because he's an absolute animal. He's a beast. He's a massive human being, and he's absolutely freaking gorgeous. He's got a great personality. Those are all reasons to be intimidated by Xavier, not that he is an attorney. But be that as it may, he's decided to go with it. I was very, very interested to see what Frenchie gave us tonight. Obviously, the Twitter has been sort of very polarized on Frenchie. Some people absolutely love him and defend him. Some of the previous alumni are friends with him or talked with him on Twitter. Other people think he's a total fake, think he's a poser, and they just think he did it to get on the show. You know what? Whatever. It worked, and he was absolutely wonderful on the show tonight. My heart sunk, I have to say, when the end of the episode happened and the offer was made. I was like, there ain't no way. No. I think that's just because, you know, he's a massive fan of the show. If somebody else, like, I don't know, Christian had won, and he almost did. I think that might have gotten the offer taken because, you know, he doesn't care about the show. Like, he just wants to come on and have a good time and meet a few girls. So I really thought that was a little bit unfortunate for the show's part. But be that as it may, I thought this was a fun group, and the competition, I thought itself, was something that I've never seen before. What did you think of it?
Yeah, no, the competition was very interesting. I liked the approach that they had to it, and we'll get to him later, but Christian did exactly what I was screaming at my TV to do.
Yes.
Lay it down and solve it in front of you. Do not keep putting pieces in back and forth. We'll get to that, but it was driving me nuts that no one was doing it that way. And to my surprise, seeing Christian do it, of all people, was really at least an eye-opener.
Yeah.
I thought it was a cool competition. I liked the way the style, much better than last year's competition going into the house. Last year, it was just so bulky and just kind of hard to follow. I think this, at least, you could see it in front of you. You got an image of it, and you got to see where the house guests were, what they were thinking as they were going through the process. So I enjoyed it.
See, I'm going to disagree with you. I actually much prefer last year's competition because, you know, it's easy. Look, like, you don't have to reinvent the wheel, Big Brother. It's following a goddamn ball. That's what they did last year. You follow a ball around the maze, and it's very easy to see who's in front and who is behind. But with this competition, it was impossible to tell who was close to winning and who was not. I really had no freaking clue. And even the people that eventually solved it, I had no idea how they did it. They just, you know, sometimes we didn't even get the shot of them winning because they just solved it quickly and the production didn't know that they were going to solve it, and then they just did and they hit their buzzer. So I really think from a visual perspective for the audience, this did not come off particularly well. I would much have preferred the maze from last year, but obviously the maze in itself had its own problems where the women got, you know, the rooms that were furthest away on the maze, and the men had the ones that were the easiest. There were problems all around, but I understand why they used this one particularly this year.
Yeah. And just to go back real quick to what you said about Xavier, I didn't get to throw this out there. The fact that he's saying that, oh, I'm going to just use that I'm a bartender because who cares about being a bartender? I get that we get a lot of bartenders in the house on Big Brother, but I'm a bartender and I take a little offense to that. So, you know what? Screw you, dude. Like, I liked you. I had you in a couple of my drafts, but now, no. But yeah, so let's get on to it next. Also, the one thing I did want to say, going into this house, everyone knows about the curse going into this house of being the first one in. And of course, my freaking winner pick is the first one to enter this house. Derek Frazier is the first one to enter the house. I thought maybe he'd hold the door for someone. What are your thoughts on that?
I really thought he was going to hold the door for somebody. He may be like a super fan who maybe forgot about it, or maybe he may not be like us. There are super fans out there who are not like us. People that know the history of the show, people that know all about the curses and whatnot. There's people that are just super fans that watch every season, and that's the end of it. They don't go onto the live feeds. They don't listen to shows like this. They just love the show and live the show, and then once it's done, they say, girl, bye. I think that may be what Derek is. Otherwise, he definitely would have held the door open for somebody else. You know what? I mean, hey, isn't the curse broken? Like Tamar won. Like she went in first, right? Yeah, but we do. Do we care?
I mean, I'm with you.
I understand. Look, like here's the thing. If I was on the show, I would not go in first.
I wouldn't take my chance, right? Yes. Like all you have to do is just hold the door for someone. That's being polite.
I would not.
We even saw Frenchie in the same group of guys hold the door for the last guy. Like he took all the chances that he could to make sure he was not the first one in. So.
Right? Yes, totally. I really thought that Frenchie did a fun job. That was very interesting. Yeah. But overall, like, you know, as long as you get in there and win the game.
I think he'll be all right. Also, what did you think of the DR confessionals as they were walking into the house?
Weird,
right?
Yes, I thought this was live. So, like, I was trying to, like, so did they pre-recorded these before they met each other, I guess? That's the thing. But they put them in the diary room, like in the old days with Jeff, where they put them in the diary room with Jeff, but Jeff wasn't there this time, obviously. So they just put them in the diary room and had them do some sort of generalized confessionals for the slot machine that we'll see at the end, right?
It was very strange. I mean, it was cool, I guess, because you get to see, like, in the very first episode, see what they're going to be like in front of the DR, you know, like what they're going to, what their kind of actions are going to be in the DR room, see who's going to be lively, who's going to be boring, who's going to be exciting. But at the same time, I'd rather see them go into the house and talk and, like, meet each other. Like, that's what we get with these first night, you know, walking into the house, getting to talk and see each other. Yes, it's only 30 seconds before they have to go to the outside.
Right.
But, I mean, I'd rather watch that than say, oh, I'm here to kill the competition.
Yeah, well, I think part of the issue was that Julie told him not to dilly-dally. Like, the first group really dilly-dallied.
Yes.
Like, they talked it up, had a good time, looked at the memory wall, looked at the kitchen, looked all around, had a good time. And then they were definitely a little behind show-wise. I think the show budgeted a certain amount of time. Again, that's why they had Frenchie do the competition at the end, because they had budgeted for somebody to do the competition time-wise. And then, obviously, he chose not to do it. So, but they still had time to air, and they couldn't go off the air yet, so they had to fill it with something. So I don't love the idea of doing these live confessionals, but I do think there is a reason why we didn't get more conversation with the house guests, because Julie was really trying to get, you know, tell everybody, look, when you get inside, no dilly-dally, go out straight to the backyard. And I'm sure the PAs beforehand, when they were explaining the rules of the competition, also told them don't dilly-dally because of what the first group did.
100%. All right, so that was the first group. We had Frenchie come out on top. He did pretty well. He got that puzzle pretty quickly. And so we see them go to the top of the roof to watch the first group of girls come in. Anything else from this first group that you want to talk about?
Nothing from the first group, except that they got to go to the top and watch everything. I thought that was a little bit of an advantage, although I guess it's no more of an advantage than getting to move in first and getting to pick a bedroom before other people get to move in. So
exactly. All right, so we have the first four girls. We have Azah. Let's see here.
Excuse me, sorry.
I always want to say that, and then I like look at it.
I will Azah. Crack the whip on that one, bitch.
No, do it, please. I'm so bad with pronouncing names, and hosting is just not my strong suit. So, okay, Azah. Sorry,
Azah.
I will get it down. Azah. I will get it. Yeah. Give me a week, people. Okay, we didn't have videos. We didn't have anything.
Right, I know. I did the same thing. Yeah.
Okay, so she says she is boy crazy, but rule in the house is no penis. Brent, what do you think about that?
I don't know, girl. I don't know. Like you can have a little penis and still win the game. Like it's cool. Like you know, this makes me love her even more. Like for her to say that.
Oh yeah.
And to admit that she's boy crazy, because I'm a little boy crazy, bitch. I'm 46 years old. I can't imagine what it's like being Azah. Like come on, she's gorgeous, and she's in there with all those gorgeous guys. So I definitely empathize with her on that. And I mean, she's also there with Derek X, who took his shirt off tonight. So there's that.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get to him. Yeah, yes. that was surprising too. So no penis for Azah. And she is going to be fun. I think she's going to be amazing to watch.
An absolute blast. Yes.
I'm excited to see what her 300 cousins think about her on social media. Are we going to get a million posts about her? I'm excited to see it all. It's going to be so much fun.
I'm just glad that with the new edict from CBS Human Resources or whoever, CBS President, I don't know who the hell gave them the edict, that they have to do at least 50% people of color, or BIPOC, I should say, BIPOC, that it is really great that we're seeing, like, okay, I'm gonna get on my soapbox a little bit. You know that in the past, so often, they place one black girl in the house who is the church-loving, pew-sitting, Jesus-praying girl. And it is nice that we get a rainbow of the rainbow. It is great that we see all sorts of different people who are people of color who, you know what, not all of them go to church. Some of them don't care about church. Some of them care about dick. And I like those people who care about dick. So that's okay with me. You know,
unless
what?
You're Ozza, no penis.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm really glad that this is something like it's great. Like, you know, we all love that people who live in the real world like us. Like, we love the fact that the show has 50% BIPOC. Yeah. But beyond that, the ramifications of that and the maybe the things that you don't think about that occur because of that are things like this, where you get such an amalgam of different people who like what you would never have seen on the show before. So I love that.
And we saw it on Big Brother Canada. It made for a fantastic season last season. And we saw a person of color win the season. Not gonna, no spoilers or anything, because, you know, I don't want to spoil anything if you haven't seen it, but you know, we got to see so much fun last season on Big Brother Canada, and I'm really glad that US is doing the same thing.
And a really great season, a season where I felt like there were very few problems, and the problems that they did have were snapped back right away. So I'm hoping that holds true for this season of Big Brother USA.
Yes, sir. All right, next we have Brittany, karate three-time world champion, which I don't know if we got that in her essay that she wrote about herself before. But we got it tonight, and she's a fourth degree black belt. And also, I didn't know this, but apparently she is autistic or on the spectrum. She said that in the process. And, that's great to know. I wish we would have known that going in. I don't feel like I knew that. Did you?
I think that might have bought her a little bit of empathy and sympathy from Twitter if people knew about that. Because otherwise, like, people were just like going on and on about the fact that she talks a lot. And boy, let me tell you. Bitch, she does talk a lot. She really did. This episode, when Julie was talking, so many times I heard Brittany talking over her in the background. Like, she was not even on camera, and I could hear Brittany talking. She's in the competition, and other people are silently thinking to themselves, and there's Brittany talking. Like, it's going to be a thing this season. I'm really praying she doesn't get evicted anytime soon.
Well, she saved this first week, so she's at least made it through the first week. She could have gone 2 weeks if Frenchie would have taken the challenge, but hey, good
Bad
for her.
Chance.
But good for her, you know, going out there and being a representative for the autistic community, which I think is great. Fantastic of CBS to find someone that, you know, like that to get in the house. So it's the first one, I believe, that I know of that we've seen in the house with autism. So it's going to be a great thing to add to the show.
Just besides Ian. I know Ian Terry was on the autistic
program. Ian, yes. I apologize.
I know you're going to get snapped back by the chat.
Yeah. So, sorry. Yes, like I said, I'm focused on notes.
Yes,
I'm not thinking
of season, before. We didn't know that.
Yes, correct. And then we have Alyssa. She is independent. She has her own swimwear line and doesn't know how to make a face to be fake. So I'm very interested to see how that'll work in the house.
Alyssa, I feel you, girl. I really do. I found it very hard to be fake on my season of Sequester. It's one of those things where you kind of know if you're good at it or not. And I'm really like, I'm not good at it. I find it very difficult to actually be nice and pretend that I like people that I actually don't like. I just kind of let them have it, and I don't really care. And I feel like she's kind of the same way. So let's see what happens with Miss Alyssa. I think there is a non-zero possibility. She's not on Frenchie's team, right? Or is she?
She's not. No, she's on the Kings.
Okay.
Christian's team.
Oh, that's right. He picked her because he was thinking with his dick. That's what I said. Yes, exactly. Yep. Yes, yep. I do think there's a non-zero chance that she could be the first one evicted, but we'll see.
So, hey, you know what? Let's see how this works for her. I have her as one of my top picks in a couple of my drafts, so I'm kind of like biting my teeth now, like, oh, what did I do? But hey, you know, if she can fake it, then hey, she might be able to go pretty far. Next, we have Whitney, single mom, showmance, ? She's not opposed to it. So we even saw her in the episode be like, well, Travis is cute, but I'm like, oh man, it's going to be a long season with Whitney. She's thirsty.
Yeah, she is thirsty. I thought it was funny that she didn't pick him after that. Travis actually fell to the end of the draft. He went
Can you believe that?
Unbelievable. Absolutely stunned by that.
I was shocked.
I think honestly, it's more of a reflection of the fact that Christian was like thinking with his dick, and the fact that Claire and Frenchie were like well aware of what BB Twitter wanted. So I feel like that maybe that had something to do with the fact that Travis ended up at the end. Anyway, we'll get to that. But yeah, overall, like, man, this was, we're talking about Alyssa, right? Alyssa, yeah. Like,
Whitney.
I'm sorry, Whitney. Yeah, Whitney. Oh my gosh. Yes. Boy crazy and really like effervescent, very light, very cheery. You know what? If she gets into a showman's, you know, here's the thing. As I have done season after season after season of Big Brother as a podcaster, I'm less anti-showman's than I used to be. Like, showman's are kind of fun, especially if they're a little messy. I'm not necessarily opposed to that. So let's see what happens with her.
I love showman's because I love to hate showman's. So, okay, you know, yeah, like, that's that. I'm okay with it if it's the people that I want to lose the game. So that's what makes it fun for me. All right. So also in the video, the little commentary video, as they're walking through the house, the first four girls walking in the house, we heard Azza say plans to target the winner of the first comp. She doesn't want to win the first comp because she plans to target the winner. Mm-hmm. Well, now she's on the same team as the winner.
So, Mrs. Lincoln, something happened on the way to the theater. Yeah, exactly. girl, you ain't going to be able to do that because he's on your team. You can't target him. Make new plans. Again, all these plans that these people said they had, throw them out the window. Once they get into the house, once they find out that it's teams, once they find out that the contours of the game are a little different than what they thought it was going to be, which, again, expect the unexpected. Of course, that happens. You know, I really don't put much stock in many of these interviews.
Exactly. So we go into the competition. Brittany looks like she is just all over. She's like, I just was watching her the whole time because it was just so exciting
to
watch.
Lots of fun.
She was fun to watch. I'll give her that. Like, she was like a ball of energy out there. But Whitney ends up winning the competition. Any thoughts on that? The first four women in.
I mean, I kind of stunned. I wouldn't have picked Whitney to win something like that. But, you know, someone had to win, and they were certainly taking their time. So I guess it was the one person who wanted to win, let's say.
Personally, I thought Brittany and Whitney were the only two fighting for it. I thought the other two were simply just doing the motions to get through it. I thought those two were the only ones actually trying.
Okay,
so next, we got the next four guys in the house. We got Kylan. I was trying to help Angie with the baby, so I only got a couple notes on his intro video, but he works with kids. Very cool. I don't feel like I remember seeing that. Maybe there was a blurb on that, but I didn't pay attention to it. So I love Kylan. I think Kylan's going to be a great addition to this cast.
Great energy of all the people in the cast. He's the person, like, if there's husband material in the cast, I feel like it's Kylan. He's just a really great guy. Obviously gorgeous. Seems like a fan. I followed his Instagram. There was a moment in time where I thought he was actually gay, but he's actually just a kind of like a straight ally. He's very out there and proud about the fact that he's a straight ally. So I love people like that are really into things that are right and things that are just, and love telling people about that. So he seems like a bit of a do-gooder. I think even in his slot machine thingy, he had something about like he does stuff for kids or something. Whatever he said, it was kind of a do-gooder-ish kind of thing to do. So you got to make sure you have a little dirt on you, Kylan. You can't be too awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think he's going to be a fantastic cast member, and I could see him going the long haul. So let's see what happens with him. I don't have anything too crazy on my notes about him.
Yeah.
He did fib a little bit in the wheel where they were talking about how they give a little blurb about themselves to be chosen. So that was interesting to see. But yeah, I think he's a game player, and I'm excited to watch him play.
Very excited to watch him play. Again, somebody who has great, great, great energy. I love Kylan's energy in the house. I just think that he's going to bring a lot to this game.
So next we have Christian. And a little thing I have on him is thinks he will be in a showman's because of his hair.
Mm-hmm.
You think that hair is showman's worthy?
The girls love the curls. He's got a rhyme. Oh my god! Like I really wanted to gag. Like if Frenchie is listening, like here's the thing, you guys. Frenchie knows what Big Brother Twitter wants. Mm-hmm. Okay. Travis is not on his team. Christian is not on his team. I'm betting dollars to donuts those are going to be the two nominees. I swear to God, if those two people look at him cross in any way, he's going to target those two guys, because that's what Twitter would want, is to target Travis and Christian. I swear, especially Christian. I think Travis is actually, like, if you did like the Joker's ratings at this point, which I think it's hilarious that Frenchie is the captain of the Jokers, like as in Joker's updates. But like, if you did Joker's updates ratings at this point, I think Travis would actually be in front of Christian. Christian seems a bit like a douche, and Travis seems kind of like a lovable douche. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, the only thing I liked about Christian this whole episode was the fact that he laid the puzzle down in front of him and solved it. Outside of that, I mean, I really don't have much to go on this guy. I mean, maybe he'll prove us wrong. Maybe he'll end up being very fun. But it's just by his bio saying he's, you know, he's just wants to be here for the girls and have fun and doesn't think it's going to, you know, be a big thing for him. I don't know. It just everything about him just screams not going to last very long.
I really hope not. I mean, like, he seems like a fine guy, but he doesn't seem like he really cares about the game. He's obviously a recruit. Mm-hmm. Heather in the chat notes that Frenchie said a month ago that he's going to go after the jocks. So again, like, dude, I'm pretty positive that I'd be stunned if Travis isn't one of the nominees, and I'd really be stunned if Christian isn't the other.
100%. Also, thank you to NowhereMan42 for the super sticker. We appreciate the donation.
Thank you, Kitty.
Also, next we have Derek X going into the house. Was nerdy till college is what I wrote here. I don't know if he necessarily said that, but that's just what I wrote down in my notes. And parents didn't want him on the show, and he said he will only go on the show if he comes back with the $500,000. And now we found out it's a $750,000.
Yeah, what? Can we talk about that? Let's talk about that, since it's come up in our natural conversation. They couldn't just offer $1 million. Like, they couldn't just offer $1 million. Like, dude, this show makes money hand over fist, you guys. I guarantee you they could offer $1 million. It would be no skin off their back.
And you
what
know
the hell?
You know the All-Stars from last season are sitting back going like, oh, really? Oh, really?
I mean,
right now?
I just didn't understand it. And then, like, I'm hoping at some point there's a way that they can augment it to $1 million, because $750,000 just sounds odd. It sounds odd. Yes,
I thought they were going to say $1 million.
$750,000.
Yeah, I thought they were going to say $1 million, or they were going to say, okay, $750,000, and second place is getting $100,000. No, second place is still getting $50,000, apparently. That's from what they didn't say any different. So now it's like a very big drastic change between first and second. So I don't know. It seemed weird. It was just such a weird number, thing to throw in. But yeah, hey. Whatever. Hey, at least it's more money. Maybe we can get more and more and more and more, like they should be. I mean, with inflation and everything, we've been at the same price range for how long?
Oh, man. Yeah, that's we've talked about that before. Yeah.
All right. So Derek X, what did you think about Derek X besides him in his shirt off?
About the fact that he had a shirt off. I was kind of stunned because I saw that our friend Amon, was going crazy over at the RHAP draft and like was all into Derek X. I really didn't see what Derek X had to offer. Like, he seemed a little milk toasty, but then when he took his shirt off and was playing tennis, honestly, I put out a CBC for CBC. What the fuck I'm talking about? Like, that's a chem panel. I put out an APB. That's what I meant to say. APB for Amon to see if he was still alive somewhere, because oh my gosh, like I that was absolutely stunning. I could not believe that he had that body underneath there. I really did not think that.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure Amon was just on the floor.
I saw him tweet that he like Derek, I can't do this all season. You got to put your shirt on at some point. Oh my gosh.
I love Derek. I think Derek's going to be so much fun in this house. I think he could be very good at this game. He's way more athletic than I gave him credit for just off the first few pictures alone. He's not the typical nerd. Like, he's not this nerdy guy that they get in the house. He's an athletic, you know, he was in a frat, you know, this frat, you know, he dresses the part of like a frat guy kind of, but with that, you know, techie kind of look to him. I think this guy's going to be great in this house.
Yeah, I'm really excited about Derek. He's definitely somebody, I don't feel like we have seen somebody like him in a while or if before whatsoever. Somebody that has everything that you could want. He has the body, he has the looks, he's got the smarts, he's got the strategy. You know, does he have the people skills? Does he have the empathy to be able to bond with these people? We'll see. But if he's got that, I have to think he's going to be in it for the long haul.
Also, our friend Doug here said they should have made it 523,000 for BB23. That would have made more sense than 750,000. Let's be honest.
That's what Wheel of Fortune does, by the way. Every season they add like 1,000 to their grand prize. So it's like you spin the wheel and you land on like the worst prize whatsoever, and it's season 39. You win $39,000 if you solve the bonus puzzle. That's what they should have done since it's season 23.
Yep, exactly. So next, let's see here. We've got Brent. He didn't give me a lot. I swear, I thought my volume was lower. When he was on, I thought when he was showing his little cameo, I thought my volume went lower. No, he just doesn't talk loud. He just kind of
You know?
I was like,
well, he's nothing
like something going on. Yeah, exactly. I was like, this guy's giving me nothing really besides his cartwheels and his one-handed, you know, backflip, whatever it
was. He's hot. Yeah. I mean, he's got the body.
You're the judge on that.
He really is. I mean, he's got the body on it.
he's pretty built.
He was more personable than I thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
I know he was a little quiet, but I do think that it probably pretends well. I think that lends itself more to you actually making bonds with people and getting relationships where people can trust you if you're able to just calm down a little bit. On the other hand, Tommy was an absolute madhouse a few seasons ago, and people seemed to trust him just fine. So what the hell do I know?
Yeah, and I put on here, he says he's going to be competitive and has charm. So we'll see if he can bring that charm more than he brought in his video.
I'm the Queen of England. Okay. I'm just what does that mean? That's like word salad. What does that mean?
Okay. I feel like that's just the go-to saying when you have nothing else to talk about yourself. Yeah. So then we had Christian win. And I feel like Christian, I know I'm giving him a lot of praise for how he solved the puzzle, but I feel like he was the fastest one out of anyone to solve the puzzle. I thought that went like that. I thought he got it done real quick. Yeah, so Christian won. Anything else from the competition?
No, I was like everybody else. I'm sure we were all thinking the same thing. I do think they probably had a little bit of time because the first group, I don't think they had any time.
Yeah.
I think they just told them the rules on stage. The second group, they told them the rules, but they were like, they told them and then they were out there right away. Then by the third group, you could see that these people had a little time to think about it. And so I think that's why he probably put it down, because the girls in the fourth group, some of them put stuff down on the ground. We're trying to solve it in different ways. Like I think the more time you had to think about, the more time you had to develop a strategy.
Yeah. And you know, if you want to listen to Pumpkin's Guys Pimpin', Christian is so hot. So, hey,
he's hot. I mean, I went through him out of bed, you know, let's say that.
You're the judge on that.
You're lying. If you're somebody who likes guys and Christian was right next to you, you're lying if you said you'd throw him out of bed. I mean, like he's a good looking guy and he's got it going on. Let's be real.
Christian reminds me of Nicole Franzl's husband.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Victor's so milquetoast right now.
Yeah,
he's so vanilla, and he used to be spicy.
Has she popped yet? Like she was very pregnant last I saw.
I don't know. I don't keep up on her. I think I have her.
I don't either. My fiance.
I have her blocked on Twitter.
My fiance doesn't care about Big Brother like one bit. Told me, she's like, oh, she's about ready to pop. I'm like, she's pregnant? I was like, you're following Big Brother?
Right?
It threw me off.
I think that she's the first person I ever preemptively blocked. Because, because when I was at the old podcast, like, she didn't want to do the podcast because of me. And like I was like, well, fuck you, bitch. I don't want you to know what the hell I'm saying. So I blocked her so she couldn't see me. And then I also blocked Victor, and I blocked Coco Caliente, which is their business podcast. I blocked everything. And I blocked them on Instagram too. I blocked them everywhere, so they can't see anything about me.
Oh man. Yeah. Well, you haven't blocked me, so that's good.
I have not.
All right. So next, let's get to the last four women in. First, I want to throw this out there. This whole time we've been calling her Sarah. And then all of a sudden Julie throws a wrench in everything, and now she's Sarah Beth. So we're going with Sarah Beth now. Is that what it is?
I think everyone else is going to call. I mean, whatever the house guests call her, that's what we're going to go with. I think everyone else is going to call her Sarah Beth. Sarah for short, obviously. It's fine if you say Sarah, but we know who you're talking about. It's not like Derek X and Derek F, for heaven's sake. She's interesting. So she was lying, correct, about her job?
Yeah.
She's not a voiceover artist.
No. Correct? Not that I'm aware of.
Maybe she does that as a hobby.
I know she's a seamstress.
She does like like, what does she do again? She's so I know the least about her. She was the one on the board with like the equations and the riddles and stuff like that. Like, she does something brainy, right? What does she do?
I feel so bad, but like everyone else when they were drafting her, I just kind of looked over her profile. I feel bad now because she's drafted last. Like, we didn't even know her real name, Sarah Beth. Like, we found out that she has a girlfriend too.
Mm-hmm. She got a girl. That's the thing that was interesting. She's got a girlfriend. I guess she was telling the truth. You wouldn't lie about that.
Yeah, no, I don't think
scientist.
So.
Thank you, Kim Matina. She's a forensic scientist.
So there it is. That's what it was. Okay, I remember that now.
About her job. Yes, I knew she was something sciencey. I just couldn't remember what it was. So yeah, she's lying about her job as well. So you know what? If you're lying and saying you're a voiceover artist, I understand why she's doing that, because her voice is definitely interesting. But I hope that she either knows somebody who does that or has some experience in that, because if you don't, you're going to, like, people are going to ask you lots of things about that, and you never know who you're going to run into.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and then right here, more like Holly Beth, we can't escape it. That, if that's not the truth, let's just hope she's nothing like Holly.
Yeah.
Let's
just hope wow.
I don't think they're the same type at all.
I grew to love Holly by the end, but I understand why people couldn't stand her.
It's more the Jackson
of
it all.
She was hungry. I know. It's the Jackson of it all. Yeah.
All right. So next we got Hannah. She graduated from college at 19. She's half Black, half Indian. Mm-hmm. Gonna say she is studying fashion. I was very, very impressed with her video. I liked her coming in. I still think that she gives me this vibe that she's gonna go off on someone if it happens. Like, I can see her being kind of like right there to the touch. If someone says the wrong thing, she's gonna go for it. But then when we saw her on the episode, she was very nice, very friendly to people. Like when Frenchie chose Azza over her, she was like, oh, don't worry about it, it's cool. Like, I liked that. I liked that about her game. And I liked the fact that, you know, she graduated high school at 16. She graduated college at 19. She loves Doogie Howser because she wants to be like Doogie Howser. Like, everything about her profile is just screaming to me.
It's just like a stream. It screams like such a driven person. My boyfriend's like that. Like, I cannot relate. I am not what I would call a driven person. There's lots of money and lots of fame to be had out there. Lots of things you can do. I'm cool chilling at home here, do podcasts and just watching Big Brother and watching my shows. And I'm cool like that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to do all of this stuff or earn all of this stuff. But my boyfriend's like that. And I feel like she's like that. She is a go-getter. Yeah. God bless these people. I'm glad they're out there, Bobby, because I can't be like that.
I mean, I'm a homebody too. I mean, as much as I'd love to go play Big Brother, I love that there's people like this out there that are more driven. I mean, as Xavier would say, I'm only a bartender, so it's not like I've got a lot of drive, apparently, according to him. But I really liked hers. I thought she was super fun to watch. I think that I'm excited to see what she brings. I'm apprehensive in some ways just because I want to see what she does in this house, but it's more excitement than anything.
Me too. I'm excited, and I really hope she does let someone have it at some point. That'd be very fun.
Next, we have Claire, which one thing that, you know, really surprised me, and maybe it shouldn't have surprised me, but they had the intro video for her, and I know that they do film these intro videos even for the people that are the backups, but I was just like, I don't know. Part of it kind of took me by surprise. Her video.
It did. Right? So let's stop right there. Okay. I was stunned that she had a video. Like, I thought it was going to be like, I when they did the whole key reveal with her.
Yes.
I thought it was going to be like in a hotel room.
Okay.
Or like in some public place that looked obviously in, you know, downtown LA or something like that.
That's what I thought.
I was stunned that they actually had her do. I was stunned that she had a package. Okay,
so
I'm not stunned when somebody has a package, let me say.
So that means every season they have, you know, 16 other people with these videos ready to go.
You think it's 16? It has to be like 8.
Okay, let's say 8. Let's say 8.
Yes. Or maybe it's because of the coronavirus. Maybe they, like, if it wasn't because of the, like, if coronavirus wasn't a thing, maybe they'd have like 4.
Okay, maybe, yeah, okay, let's say eight. It's just weird that both times we saw the changing of people, it's like almost
they
like they're doppelgangers.
Yeah, I know.
So
yeah.
That's why I'm like, oh, maybe there are 16 people back there. But let's say even 8. Let's say half that. Okay. There's 8 people each season that they're doing these videos for. It's just kind of mind-boggling to me because we saw her be such a late addition to this cast. I just found it very interesting. I mean, it's maybe the super fan in me, but I found that very interesting.
Me too. Yeah, I'm like, so you did this whole video, and if Christy doesn't come up positive with COVID-19 after having the vaccine, which is like a crazy event in and of itself, then you're not on the cast, and this video never sees the light of day. That's an amazing turn of events. Like, can you imagine if she goes on to win?
Yeah.
Like, wasn't it like Tina in Survivor Australia? Wasn't she an alternate?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she was.
I think so. Like, I think you're right.
That'd be so amazing. All alternates have won, man.
And
so,
she looks great. Yeah. She goes on to win this competition. We'll get to that. But next we have Tiffany. About Claire. We didn't get to talk about Claire. I just skimmed right over her. Claire wants to be in an all-women's alliance. That's one thing we learned about her in her profile. We don't ever see all women's alliances typically.
Whatever. I don't care. Just succeed as women. You don't have to be in an all women's alliance.
Exactly. Also, she's bisexual, so she doesn't mind flirting with the men and the women in the house. What are your thoughts on Claire?
Claire, I fucking love you. I don't know anybody that doesn't love Claire. I think we're all just sort of holding our breath like, okay, she's so awesome and we love her. Please don't disappoint us. We don't want her to get targeted early or get sniped early because of something stupid. I think Claire is somebody that we can all get behind. She unites many different aspects of Twitter and social media. Like, I'm really excited about Claire. She says all the right things. She says the things that we want people to say who go into the house. She's a fan of the show. She's an LRG player. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's a live reality game. So like, you've heard of online reality games where people play like, you know, a version of Big Brother, and they play it online, like the Sequester Minis from last year, for instance. There's LRGs out there where they have like versions of Survivor, Big Brother, other games where they go and they meet, and they might play for 500,000, 2,000, whatever. They might play for nothing, but they play in a live setting. She is somebody who founded, she's one of the founders of Survivor Michigan, which a lot of these colleges have their own versions of Survivor on campus that gets passed down, you know, through the years. And I'm just, for somebody like that to be on the show, that's just freaking awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was very, no, you're good. I was very, very happy to see her on this cast. I'm glad that she got through it. It's unfortunate for Christy. I feel bad that, you know, COVID ended up happening, which I still don't understand how in Sequester, you know, doing all the stuff that she's done, being, you know, she's vaccinated. She says all that. I don't understand how she got it, but hey, you know what? It happens.
You know what? Her loss is our gain. I'm sorry. I wasn't getting a lot from Christy. And like
I
said,
I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you.
That's showbiz, babe.
So on to the next one. Next, we'll do the same thing here. We've got Tiffany. Notes I have for her. She sucks people's blood, is what she said. Her son's name is Christian, so she should be yelling at Christian all season long, which should be a lot of fun. And she's a super fan of the game from what she says.
It seems like she's definitely a fan of the game. I did not realize she was 40. I thought she was in her 30s. So I must have missed that somewhere. I thought the oldest person was like in their 30s. So she's exactly 40. I love the thing she said, because I would have said something like that too. She's like, bitch, I don't care that I'm 40. Do I look 40? I'm like, no. I love that.
Can't wait for her to start yelling Christian's name all season long. I just feel like that's going to be a thing. They're going to make some kind of highlight of it.
That would be great.
All right. So those are the last four women in. Anything you want to go? We see Claire ends up winning the competition. Anything else you want to talk about these last four women?
Claire definitely had a strategy. Mm-hmm. She implemented it well in terms of trying to win that competition. I was glad she went for it and definitely tried to take hold of her own destiny. When she buzzed in first and didn't get it, I didn't think the three other women, I didn't think were even close.
No, not at all.
She just had to make one quick change and she was good to go. So she looked cool. I am a little worried that Frenchie, who is the HOH, got to see her. She definitely kind of beasted that a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if he's looking for a reason to target somebody, he might say, oh, she's too spicy. I wish they would have given all of the captains safety for the first week. But then again, that's results oriented, because if she wasn't a captain, I'd be bitter. So,
I hear you. I'm very interested to see, especially also that her team got second place, and we'll get into it into the next competition. I love Claire a lot. I'm just worried for her. I just hope she doesn't, play too hard too fast. But hey, I think that she's going to be a great addition to this cast. I'm happy to see her on here. So, next, we will talk about what happened after the next commercial break, where we go to them drafting teams and the slot machine. We'll get into all that. But first, we need to get a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
See you guys in a few minutes. Bye.
Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid, but I had to give it up because I realized it was full of sugar and junk that you really shouldn't eat. Now, I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food, and realized I basically can't eat anything anymore. I've been drinking protein shakes and powders for years, but finally found a delicious way to get my protein before and after workouts. Now, we're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you'll love, but without all the bad stuff.
We're talking 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. And there's only 140 calories a serving. This stuff's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. And we've got exciting news. Magic Spoon has released a super delicious new flavor, Birthday Cake. Birthday Cake Magic Spoon will be available in a special 5-pack for a limited time only, so get it now while you can. You can also do the Build Your Own box with available flavors to build your own custom bundle with cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, and cinnamon. If you're listening from Canada, Magic Spoon now ships there as well. Great news all around.
Go, Zach. It's your birthday. Go, Zach. It's your birthday. But also go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab the new limited edition birthday cake or a custom bundle of cereal to try it today. Be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. This offer is now good anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, but only when you use our code SURVIVOR at checkout.
And Magic Spoon is so confident in their products, it's backed by a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use the code SURVIVOR to save $5. Thanks, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
Go, Zach. It's your birthday. This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right. We're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part? It's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
All right, and we're back. We got a comment from Tracy Burke, the new B&B, Brent and Bobby, spread the word. I like it.
Well, go ahead. I have to say that it's better than the other B&B.
Shame.
Love you, Mike. Love you. Shame.
We love Mike and Liana. We love our friends at RHAP. We miss you guys. But yes, so we are happy to be here with you. We are happy to break down the season. So we got into the first, each four of the different competitions for the house guests going into the house. Next, We got to see them come back from break and draft the teams. What did you think of this slot machine?
This was weird. Okay, super I understand. Weird. Let's call it what it is. The producers are trying to force them to make sure that every team has a balance of white and people of color. Like, yep, that's exactly what was happening. It wasn't about keeping men and women on the same team or keeping an even balance of genders. I mean, that was definitely part of it, but that was not the reason why they gave them two choices. Bitch, when I saw that there was a white team and Derek F and Xavier were the miraculously the two choices, I think at that point, like, Derek F had came up twice and somebody else hadn't even come up once.
Yes.
That was, yeah, forced diversity. You know what? I'm glad that means we don't have any all Mayo alliances, all Mayo teams out there. That's going to save us and CBS a bunch of headaches. I'm glad for that, but it was apparent what was going on. I'm sure the house guests are going to talk about it. Also put some people in a really uncomfortable position by being like who was it that Sarah Beth, who was like turned away over and over and over again? Like, that's gotta be so humiliating.
It was such now listen, we always say, all the fans are always like, oh, well, there's an all guys team or, you know, an all white person team. They're picking the people of color last, like, and I get that. I understand that. So we can't really complain when they finally make it so that they have to choose these people to make it diverse and fair and equal teams. So I don't want to dog on them too much, because as much as we might not have liked the approach, this is what we've been asking for them to do in some form.
I'm not dogging them. I'm just noting it was weird and transparently obvious what was happening.
Yes, it was definitely transparent, definitely obvious. I mean, we saw Travis once until he was the last one picked, or the second, you know, to the second to last one.
Yeah, suddenly, that's right. You know, like he
first and last.
Yeah, he went undrafted, but he was only offered up one time.
He was offered the very first guy and then the very last guy, and he didn't get picked, so that's why
I'm
he was last.
Sure, that is the first time that Travis has ever only offered stuff once at a party.
Maybe not for Sarah Beth, but for Travis, definitely. Yeah, no, and hey, you know what? It was interesting to see. I thought it was a little weird, little forced, but at the same time, hey, we got some pretty cool looking teams. I'm pretty happy with the teams. I'm just excited to see what these teams do. Let's get into the teams. So first we have the Jokers, and we'll break down team by team. So we got the Jokers, Frenchie, Azza, Brittany, and Derek F. What do you think of that team?
I mean, like, I'm just going to handle all four of them. I mean, we can talk about it, but I don't think there's any bad team. I think because of the fact that they forced them to have two men and two women, and they forced them to have diversity on their teams, which is something that they should be encouraging. Like, the house guests should want to do that. I actually don't think they really needed to do that. I think anytime that Frenchie and Claire had an opportunity to pick someone of color, I think they're going to do that. They're going to want a better life experience in the Big Brother house, and they want to have different people from different walks of life on their team. That's just how it is.
Absolutely.
So that's cool. Heather notes that the captains were all white bread. I actually didn't notice that.
I did notice that. And I didn't know if I should bring it up because, it was a competition and they won their way there. Yeah. So it's
Like Azza wasn't, she wasn't even trying.
She wasn't trying.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not like, oh, these were teams were picked because, or these captains were picked this way or whatever. It was they won out. So yes, but no.
You think so Heather thinks that the Queens team has a slight edge, which is Claire, Kylan, Tiffany, and Travis. Again, I think all the teams are really balanced.
I think it's very balanced.
Yeah.
Very balanced. I like all the teams. We got Aces are Whitney, Britt, Derek X, and Hannah. Then we got the Kings are Christian, Alyssa, Xavier, Sarah Beth. And the Queens are Claire, Kylan, Tiffany, and Travis.
So Claire and Travis are together. Interesting.
Claire and Travis are together. Honestly, I don't think there's a slouch team at all. Like, even the teams that, you know, I don't know. I think all of these teams are pretty well balanced.
Yeah. Who's the guy on, I'm trying to think, on Frenchie's team?
The guy on Frenchie's team is, Derek F.
That's the one that looks maybe a little weak. Frenchie's not exactly like
got Brittany,
a powerhouse, although he just won this competition. So what the fuck?
Hey, Brittany's a black belt. I mean,
yeah, I know. Yeah, maybe.
She,
yeah,
she's
you're
broke
right,
her leg walking, right, but maybe in competition she'll be great.
Yeah, exactly. And he won the like, he just won the competition. He won two competitions tonight. Frenchie did. So yeah, exactly. So, I think it's pretty balanced.
I think of the weakest teams, I think it could be the Aces with Whitney, Brent, Derek X, and Hannah. But even then, that's not a weak team. That's
not
really
not
a weak team.
It's really not.
But I just think in my head, I'm thinking that's probably the weakest team, and that's not even a weak team. So I think that's how balanced these teams are. So
me too.
I'm happy with it. Grand prize, we got into that. It's grown to 750,000. Last place team are the have-nots. We saw in this competition, it was a stacking competition where they had to hold it. We've seen this similar competition in Survivor in the past. Mm-hmm. And we've seen, we might have even seen it on Big Brother off the top of my head. I can't remember.
I've only seen it on Survivor.
Okay, so Survivor's the only place we saw it. I remember this. It was an okay competition. It got the job done. For me, we saw Christian almost win it right away. He almost won it right. And then I don't know who was the slouch or someone was dropping it on purpose.
I need to go back and watch. I'm sure you guys in chat can, but like what the hell happened with that? Like how did they get last?
Was it
Xavier? Isn't Xavier on his team? Mm-hmm. I want to say, yeah. Like Xavier seemed like he was.
Alyssa and
Erica.
Sarah.
Eric says, Brent, do you think Xavier threw that competition? I don't know why they would, because they're not the HOH and they're safe. It seems like you would have every want to win the competition. I can't imagine anybody on any of these teams threw it outright. They're just absolutely incompetent. Like,
it was strange. Like, what? Yeah. There's zero motivation to lose this competition.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're trying to put a target on your captain. But even
everybody
then, you don't know anyone.
It, you have to show me why. I mean, I'd have to hear from him. Like, why would he want to throw
but
that?
But do we even know it was Xavier? We couldn't see everyone's hands.
It looked like it was Xavier. I know the second time around it was Xavier. So I'm guessing the first time it was probably something to do with him, too. So.
Okay, well, maybe that'll put a target on his back. You know, if everyone was privy to it and everyone saw it happen, if we could see it from afar, the people on his team might have been able to see it, too. So who knows? Who knows? Maybe
I'll
they
say
didn't
this.
Want to win it.
Christian has better. He has a better temper than I am. I do, because if I had been Christian and I had it stacked and I ran back and they let it drop and then I went out there and I stacked it back up and again I started to run for the buzzer and again they dropped it, I think I'd have let them have it. I'd be like, you goddamn motherfuckers, can't you hold the goddamn thing straight for two freaking seconds?
Well, there's zero motivation to not at least get second or third. Like, it's fine if you don't want
what
your
are
team
you
to
doing?
Win.
I
Why would you
so
not want
mad.
Second or third?
Oh,
now you're a have not too. So that just it makes no sense. But I don't see why they would throw it, but hey, you never
I think
know
Xavier's just incompetent. I don't think he didn't want to be
think
a
he
have
threw
not.
It.
He don't
why
want
would
to be
you
have,
be have not?
Not?
There's zero motivation
and
not get second or third.
And not only that, if you throw it, that means another team is safe, which means now you are in the eligible pool of house guests, and that eligible pool is only 12 people instead of 16.
Exactly.
Like, what are you doing?
I don't understand why anyone would throw that. But so we got the Jokers winning it. We have Queens in second. We have the Aces in third, and the Kings are have nots for the week. Next, we come back from the break, and we have a double or nothing competition for HOH Frenchie.
Yeah.
So let's get into this. Julie makes the announcement that there's a double or nothing competition. The first thing Frenchie says is, do we still get our first week of safety no matter what?
Idiot.
That's not how double or nothing
that.
Works. Like,
idiot.
First off,
what
why
idiot.
Would Big Brother ever give you something like that? And yeah. No, you'll still get the first week, but we just want to see if you can get the second week. No, that's not how this works, and that's not how double or nothing works. Right? Go on, talk to me.
I mean,
about
like
this.
I was. First of all, he was just an idiot. Let's be. He must have been nervous because he wasn't.
He was nervous. He was pacing.
I think that no matter who got this, I think they were always going to keep it. I don't think anybody was going to go for the double or nothing. You know why? Because Big Brother didn't offer any money. There was no peer pressure. See, everybody. Here's the thing. If you would have said. What they should have done is this. They should have held back the $250,000 and said, Frenchie, if you go for this and risk it, you can get 2 weeks of safety, but just by risking it, you can add $250,000 onto the prize pool. All of those people, they all would have professed safety to Frenchie. Claire, everybody, they would have said, Frenchie, go for it. Like, get the money in the prize pool. You're safe. If you lose it, we'll keep you guys safe, because she would have been the HOH. Like, I have so many thoughts, but definitely they should have held that back to get him to go for it. Like, and if he went for it, whether he succeeded or not, the money would be added to the prize pool at that
1,000%. That was what production needed to do, because production wanted this competition to be played. They wanted something on their line. They wanted this, you know, craziness at the beginning of the first episode. They were going to give him the $750,000 no matter what.
Yeah.
So why not just add that as an incentive?
And if he says no, even in the face of all the peer pressure,
he's gone.
Well, I think so. But even then, you can add the $250,000 on at a later time. Like, can get it on there. It's not a big deal. Like, there was no peer pressure. There was no reason for him to turn it down, because the way they rigged it was that if he turned it down, basically no one's mad at him.
Yeah.
Like, the team is safe and everyone else totally understands. There was nothing to be gained by him going for it. Okay. There really wasn't. Because when you could be evicted first, the thrill of being safe for 2 weeks means absolutely nothing if suddenly you're vulnerable in the next 10 minutes. Like,
going into the house, everyone's worst fear is being the first one voted out. Once you get past not being the first one voted out,
especially his. Yes, he's a super fan. Yes.
You don't want to be the first one voted out. So as long as you can get through that, you're fine. So there's no motivation to get 2 weeks of safety. 2 weeks of safety gives you really nothing, especially when from what we know, one of his other people could win HOH and get him safety the following no matter what. There's zero reason, zero incentive to go for that second week. There's just nothing for you.
The only way this was going to work is if during the commercial break, Claire went to him and said, like, in front of everybody, like, hey, I promise you and your team totally safe. If you guys happen to lose this, I just want you guys to know, if you go for it and lose, I will keep both of you safe all of you safe no matter what. Just know that it's up to you whether or not you want to go for it, but I will keep you safe. That was the only way this was going to go off, is if Claire did that. If she didn't do that, there's no way he's going to risk it. And even then, I think it was a long shot. They needed to have a way to peer pressure him into going for it. And there was nothing on the table that was going to do that.
100%. You're right. And I think that would have been a great addition to the show. I think they should have added the $250,000
extra. Money.
There has to be some incentive to do this. So you could tell production was not happy that they didn't do it, because they made him do it anyway.
Right. Even worse. Yeah. Because he was already shaking his head the minute Julie even offered. Like, he couldn't even contain himself. He's like,
It's not happening. And like, he went back and talked to his team, but you know what they're saying. Oh, it's your decision. Here's the decision. Like, I'm sure that's what we'll see tomorrow on tomorrow's video, that they're just saying, oh, do what you have to do. But yeah, no, there's zero incentive. He made the right choice. I would have done that 1,000 times over. So we go and we see him. Julie says, hey, you're going to be doing the competition anyway.
Yeah, they got to fill the time.
What a slog.
He barely succeeded. I don't even know why Julie said, oh, you could have had it. I'm like, he barely had it.
Like, 1.5 seconds left on the clock. But secondly, I think he didn't really try. Like, when he first started, he started to jog, and then it's like, oh, you know, I got to make this good for TV. I feel like that went on in his mind. And then he started running faster and faster.
I mean, it was basically like the competition as it would have done. He got very lucky at the end that the die sort of moved over.
He messed up on that first throw, throwing it so short. That was the key to it.
Yeah.
But hey, he would have got it. Whatever. Like, it really added nothing to the show. So next we go, and that's the end of it. What we see of this first premiere episode. Before we get into what Julie said after the show, what were your thoughts on the whole episode as a whole? What were your thoughts on the premiere?
I thought it was pretty great. I really thought it was awesome. It's just great to have Big Brother. I love the cast. Having a great cast can make up for a multitude of sins, you guys. So the fact that maybe there were little awkward points in the premiere, I felt like the cast made up for it. It was a lot of fun people, especially once they got all together. They were very excited to be there, very excited to get onto teams and meet everybody. Frenchie was really excited when HOH. Like, it was just an all-around great premiere. I can't wait to see where it goes from here. By the way, I missed what Julie said at the end, so you can illuminate me, because I was already getting dressed.
nothing crazy. She just announced that there's going to be a wild card competition that we're going to see. There's nothing, no context to it. Not sure exactly what it's going to entail.
So it's their yearly Sunday competition.
Correct. Okay. It's going to be on Sunday. Then we're going to have the normal Wednesday episode, and then an eviction on Thursday, the first eviction of the season. Very interested to see what this wild card twist is. No idea, no details whatsoever. Also, with the season where they say, oh, there's going to be, you're going to have to, you know, spin big to win big. You're going to have to risk it all. Like, I'm very interested to see what kind of risk they're going to throw, especially in this wild card competition.
They need to pep it up, because let me remind you, your winner of Big Brother All-Stars didn't take one freaking risk.
At iota.
Like, he took no risks whatsoever. Cody took no risks to win, and he won 9-0. So tell me again that you have to take big risks to get big rewards. He did not have to do that.
Yeah, and right here, Erica T says, I feel like the wild card will be like BB18 roadkill twist.
Yeah, I think so too.
It could be something similar to that. Very interested to see what this twist will entail. Maybe we'll get some more details along the way. But great, great premiere episode. Great to see a live, you know, walk-in of the house guests getting to meet each other. Can't wait for the feeds tonight to get first night feeds of an all-new cast. How fantastic is that? We've been begging for this for a long time. I know we got it last season, but it was All Stars.
We got to meet new people. New people on a live new-in was so much more fun rather than people that we knew before.
I will be watching the live feeds. I got to say this. I live on the West Coast. This is my first time ever watching on the East Coast feed. It's so weird being daylight out right now and watching Big Brother. Like, I was like, this is weird. This is weird watching it live when everyone on the East Coast is watching. Besides Big Brother Canada, I had to do that for Big Brother Canada. But watching Big Brother US, very interesting to see. So very excited for this season. After the West Coast premiere, the live feeds will be on. We are very excited. I'll be on watching. Maybe I could see. Maybe I might go live. We'll see. Just depends if I have time. But very excited. Britt, last thoughts on the season and what we're going
to
get into.
I mean, I got nothing to say. Look, I got to get to my boyfriend. He's waiting for me. He just came in from Paris. He's a flight attendant. He was on a flight for like 36 hours, like there and back, or a 36-hour layover, I should say. He's wanting to see me, and I got things to do. So it was a great episode. I know you got a baby to get to.
I do. I've got a baby to get to go put to sleep.
We will be back here every Wednesday after the episode to talk about what's happening in the Big Brother house. Thank you guys so much. And, you know, you guys, I just want to say once again, I said this at the end of Big Brother Canada, but so many of you followed me over from when I left RHAP, and that was really rough. I mean, the thing, it wasn't leaving the podcast that hurt. I can podcast anywhere. It was just about leaving some of those relationships and some of the way I had done things for 6 years. So getting all of you to come over here and follow me, like, that wasn't a guaranteed thing that any of that was going to happen. But the fact that so many of you did follow me over and are watching us now, it's really, really, it really warms my heart. So thank you so much for watching us on the premiere episode. And I hope you come and tune in again next Wednesday.
100%. And, you know, I'm no longer on Rehab, not for the same reasons you're not there, but they just stopped calling. But hey, you know what? I'm here with you, and I couldn't be happier to break down this season.
And now you're a star. Yes, you got a show every week. Yes.
I mean, it is nice to be on every week with you. So, and I get to do with you, Brent. Like,
yes,
what better?
Right.
What better show? Exactly. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us here on Reality NSFW. I'm Bobby Goodspeed. You can follow me at GoodspeedBobby on Twitter. You can follow Brent at Brent Wagama on Twitter as well. We will see you next Wednesday after the Wednesday episode live around 6 o'clock, 6:10 next week. All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Breaking news! This important PSA is brought to you by Manscaped.com. This is your public service announcement and the news you've all been waiting for. The Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they've successfully created the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which is now available for purchase in the USA and Canada. This new trimmer was just released only moments ago, and we're one of the first to get our hands on it and share the news. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer just for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com.
I'm one of the first people to try the new 4.0, and I'm blown away by the performance. The craftsmanship and details on the 4.0 are next level. Their advanced ceramic blade and skin-safe technology is so good that it almost seems as if Manscaped worked with Elon Musk's engineers to ensure your testes are as safe as possible. Now, I've had my moments in the past where I tried to use the old disposable razor, tried to do some shaving. Oh my God, it looked like a 1980s NWA world title match. Ric Flair versus Dusty Rhodes wearing the Crimson Mask. Not anymore. No way, Jose. Oh my God, we're talking what makes this trimmer different than the other trimmers? It's a new multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock created for people who like to travel like me. I'm in Miami once a month for wrestling. I got Paola from 90 Day Fiancé. She's not checking out my balls, but if she did, oh, I would be ready. Now, we also have the Lawnmower 4.0 giving you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. And the new trimmer allows you to customize your trim all over through additional guard links with sizes 1 through 4. And looks wise, it's sleek with a two-tone matte and gloss finish. Even features a hot foil stamped black chrome Manscaped logo. Show that mower off loud and proud.
The optimized Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is also waterproof, so you can groom in the shower and not have to worry about making a mess on your bathroom floor. Did I mention wireless charging? The Lawnmower 4.0's new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery length last longer. If you're still trimming your face with your ball trimmer, it's time to make some changes. So here you go. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. No person wants to end up with pubes in their mouth, and your balls will thank you.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the promo code SURVIVOR. They love it when we do that at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. manscaped.com. Use that promo code SURVIVOR and unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.